Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, would you read it with me? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let me share something with you, is really important. And the Holy Spirit's constantly emphasizing this, and we're going to hear this over and over and over. The importance of the realization that you're not fighting flesh and blood. That has got to be a more of a reality to me and you than anything else. It must be such a reality. And not an assumption, but a reality. Amen? Now look at this. It says, but we're fighting against these powers of darkness. We're not fighting flesh and blood, right? But it says, the rulers of the what? Darkness of this age. Let me share something with you. They rule in darkness. That's where they reign. Anywhere where there's darkness is where they reign. That's where they want to hang out. That's what they ruin. These are demons. These are demonic forces. These are forces of darkness, principalities, and so forth. They rule in places where there's darkness. Has everybody got it? Good. Now, deception is darkness, isn't it? So if you don't know, if you're deceived in an area, it means you're dark in an area, aren't you? That means that there's a demon ruling in that area of your life. Well, believers say, well, what do you mean? Just because I'm deceived, I have a demon? Yes. It's real simple. There's a demon accessing you if you are deceived in an area. Because either you are walking in truth or you're walking in a lie. Lies are demonic. They're evil. Where there's a lie, there's a devil. Where there's truth, there's light. Amen? So if people are walking, saying, you know, when you and I are out there in the world, when you're walking in denial, well, what do we have? Demons. Didn't we? We lost sight that, you know, we might have gotten high and seen certain things, but we tried to ignore it. I'll never forget that time I walked by a staff and the thing wiggled on me. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Is this my imagination or what? And I cast a serpent out of a staff, a piece of wood, because there was an accursed logo on it, which was a serpent. And it manifested in the natural realm. Believe me, God got my attention about the things in the spirit realm. See, everything begins in the spirit realm and manifests in the natural realm. No matter what you're going through, has begun in the spirit realm, somewhere along the line. Amen? So we know that the rulers of darkness reign in darkness. They rule in darkness. They have dominion in darkness and they don't want light. They do not want to be exposed. They don't want to be exposed. Demons hate light. They must be exposed. Powers of darkness hate light. You can't counsel a demon. The only thing you can do is remove them. Amen? So we understand here then that where there's deception, there's darkness. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His greatest power is fear. His greatest weapon is deception and his greatest power is fear. Because that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't it? When the Lord was looking for them after they bit the wrong, after they ate of the tree, first thing the Lord said to them was, where were you? And they said, we hid because we were afraid. Whoa. Because they what? They ate of the fruit of deception. Deception opened the door to demonic activity in their life. And the first thing that happened to them is they were afraid because now Satan took over the world in power, didn't he? And his power is fear. But his weapon is deception. Why? Because he does not want you to know that he's the one that's putting fear on you. He doesn't want you to know that he's the one that's putting doubt on you. He doesn't want you to know that he's the one putting anxiety and stress and torment on you. He wants you to look at every clinical arena and everything that the world has to offer you of education to tell you this is the problem. But it's not. He does not want you to know the truth of what's going on. Tonight's teaching is called Spiritual Roots. Spiritual Roots. We're going to bring a revelation about spiritual roots. And then I don't know how far we're going to go and what's going to happen, but I believe that this is going to be again a series of spiritual roots. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Would you read it with me, please? Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What's the word knowledge mean?
Truth.
So if you don't have truth, you have a what? Lie. That means there's deception, isn't there? Amen? And my people, God says my own people are being destroyed because they don't have a truth. They're accepting a lie. Because you've rejected knowledge or truth, I also reject you from being a priest for me. That's getting close to God. He will not allow you to get close to Him if you're still fellowshipping with darkness. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, which represented the truth, I will also forget your children. Now, that tells us something. That tells us that this comes down to family line. Something's coming down. Lack of knowledge or lack of truth, which truth it means light, right? So where there's light, darkness is exposed, isn't it? So he says, I'm going to reject you from getting close to me, and I'm going to reject your children because you're not willing to accept my truth. So we see here that now we see something that's coming down the family line. In fact, some of us were rejected because our parents weren't right. And some of our children have been rejected because we haven't been right. But once we break that and we start getting right, then things start to change, don't they? Amen? We're seeing that our families are getting reconciled, this, that, and whatever. As long as you're still walking in truth, which is light. Go to Galatians 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 5, Galatians 6, verse 5. Let's read this together. For each one shall bear his own load. Say it again. For each one shall bear his own load. In other words, you're accountable and responsible for your stuff. In fact, it's everyone's responsibility as a human being to seek out truth. Everyone's responsibility. So we must bear our own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be what?
Deceived.
God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will what? Also reap. So we see that there's a law of sowing and reaping, right? That's what he's talking about here. He says, listen, if you're not willing to accept my truth, then you're sowing. You're sowing corruption. You're going to reap corruption. Look at, for he who sows to his flesh, that means his will, his desires, what he wants. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh what?
Reap
corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Now losing heart means not just growing weary, but letting your heart become contaminated. Has everybody got it? Not letting your heart become hardened. It's our responsibility to keep our heart pure. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we see that there's a law of sowing and reaping, isn't there? If you do good to all, What we want to do, he's talking about, is like hold no bitterness to anyone. Don't hold any grudges towards anyone. Do good to all. Bear our own load, right? Be responsible for the things of what you're doing and what you're doing and how it's affecting others. Has everybody got it? See, because what you do affects others, doesn't it? You know, so many times some people say, I've counseled with people who are still out there using, they say, well, I'm not hurting nobody. I'm just me. I mean, you know, but they don't realize that they are hurting everyone. They're hurting their family line. They're causing rejection to their children. They are hurting someone. The thing is that they've been deceived thinking, well, I'm not hurting. I mean, I was there when I was out using. That's my life. Leave me alone and let me do my dope and my drugs and my alcohol and my fornication. I'm not hurting nobody, but I was hurting everybody. Because somewhere along the line, who you're buying dope from was giving money to someone to hurt someone else. And who you were parting with and who you were selling dope to was hurting and killing someone else. So we may have thought, well, in fact, most of our money is supporting of terrorism. That we did in the drug world. So we are definitely hurting someone. But we are in darkness, and the demons were ruling in darkness because we were deceived. Amen? So they had to be exposed, didn't they? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Some of this we've reviewed already a little bit, but I need to review this some. Laying a foundation. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we need to teach.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because what you get in this room will affect others. If you're not willing to get it to affect others, then you're in deception. Has everybody got it? Jesus didn't just rescue you to come to a meeting once in a while and do nothing. Jesus rescued you so that you would be His hand and His voice, and that you would carry truth and life to others that are in need. Amen? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Okay, because we walk in the natural realm, we don't war according to the natural realm. If we could just tattoo that in our heart and our head, and maybe on our forehead. You know how many times people get all upset and frustrated? Oh man, you don't know, you don't understand what this did to me and how this, man, people just don't treat me right. This, grumble, 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 grumble. They're still looking in the carnal arena. They're not looking in the spirit. But they may think they're so spiritual, but they can't even see in the spirit that it's not the individual that's attacking them, it's the demon using that individual to get them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? A memory lie. A stronghold is a memory lie. Hallelujah. It says, casting down arguments which are lies, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the truth of God, bringing every what? Thought. Where's the battlefield then? In the mind. Into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all these lies, which are disobedience, when your what? Obedience or truth is fulfilled. When you choose to start walking in the truth, then you'll have dominion. But until you choose not to walk in the truth, you won't have dominion. I don't care how many times you come up for prayer. You still will not have dominion until you make the choice to walk in truth. Has everybody got it? It'll only be a temporary fix. You'll come up for prayer, get a little relief, but bam, you go right back to it. Oh, hallelujah. So our warfare is spiritual, isn't it? It's spiritual, right? Everybody with me? Good. Read verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Are you still carnal? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Wow, that means in spirit. Amen? Warfare is spiritual. Are you still looking at the things in the outward appearance? This is a truth right here. Does everybody understand it? This is a truth. Even when Samuel went to go choose David, and Jesse's sons came up, and the Lord said, and Samuel was like, man, I don't know, which one is it? You know? And the Lord said, don't judge by appearance, but judge by the heart. Right? For God judges by the heart. So you may think something with someone, of course you can tell them by their fruit, but they still may be struggling, but God knows their heart. There are people who are struggling, and they have a purer heart than those who aren't struggling.
Yes.
It's your heart. And a heart, your heart is the character of your spirit. That determines how contaminated you are. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John chapter 8. So our warfare is spiritual, isn't it? Our weapons are spiritual, aren't they? That's a truth. But if you still think that your weapons are carnal, listen, I tried that. When I was demon-possessed, I used to pull out a gun and chase the demons. These shadows would run all over the place. I almost blew up this house. Had a mini grenade thrown up my attic. Chased a demon up my attic. Boom. I pulled this thing off, threw it up there, all of a sudden, boom, boom. I go, my God, what did I do? I used to shoot them out in the backyard with a gun. I'd see these shadows. I wanted to kill them. Amen. I was sick. I was sick. Demon-possessed was I. But praise be to God. Because I was deceived. John chapter 8 and verse 25. Tried to get rid of them that way. Couldn't do it. Made a lot of promises. Couldn't do it. Tried everything. Changed location. Tried other families. Never worked. Just everything I touched destroyed. Because I was deceived. But praise be to God for my daddy who loves me. John 8:25. And they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he had spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself. But as of my Father taught me, I speak these things. So we see something's coming down the line, isn't it? And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And he spoke these words. Many believed him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? Truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. Let me share something with you. We want freedom, don't we? I mean, now let me share, this is important. The world tries to cause people to manage sickness, diseases, and addictions. You go to 12-step meetings, what they're trying to teach you is to manage your addiction. I don't want to manage it. I want to be free from it. There's a difference of managing diseases and sicknesses. The world tries to tell you to manage it. Come on, you got a cold, take this, manage it. You've got this, you've got, manage it, manage it. Here's medication, here's this, here's that, manage it. Here, go ahead and manage it. But we don't want to manage it, we want to be free from it. And the only way to get free from it is to go to the root of it. That's all. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. No managing addictions and diseases and bad habits. We want to be free from them. Oh, hallelujah. But the world, which is under the ruler of who is Satan, right? His greatest weapon is what? Deception. So what does he do? Well, he takes people that have all kinds of sicknesses and medicates them, and then the side effects of the medication kill them.
Yeah.
It's real simple. My mother died of toxic medication her whole life.
Yeah.
But she was a woman of stress, anger, and unforgiveness. Bitterness killed her. Those were some of her roots. They were open the door. Hallelujah. So we don't want to manage diseases and addiction, do we? We want to be free from them. If you're still trying to manage things, then you're not free. You're not free. That means that there's deception there, doesn't it? If there's deception there, then there's darkness there, and he's a ruler of darkness, and that means there's a demon accessing you. And he's causing torment. And it's our responsibility to get to the root of it so that we can be free. Praise God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? Now, what is a sword used for? It severs. It cuts. Amen? Cuts and severs. That's what a sword does, doesn't it? That's what Jesus gave us, the sword. He said, I came to bring you a sword so that you would sever your stuff. You know, so many people think that, well, once you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, everything's over with. People walk around claiming, yes, but who the Son sets free indeed. I'm a new creation in Christ. Well, then why are you still doing what you're doing? Well, all in due time. No, Jesus gave you the sword so that you can go to the root and cut it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God can't free you and deliver you and heal you instantly. He can. I'm one of them that it happened to. Instantaneous, it was over with. The sword sliced, bam, boom. It was gone. But then I started a new life. But then after that new life, I began to pick up other things, which now I have to keep severing myself from them. So I have to use the sword. I have to. Things that I pick up. People that offend me. People that don't live up to my expectations. And so forth. I have to sever those things and be free from them. Amen? That's why the Bible says forgive them. Well, unforgiveness is one of the great... I mean, you want a root? The only reason why unforgiveness is a fruit of bitterness. But hallelujah, we're not going to go into all that tonight. So Jesus said, take the sword, right? And sever it. Has everybody got it? Go to verse 35. For I've come to set a what? Man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his what? Household, which means family line. That means something's coming. Your enemies are what your forefathers have done. That has come down the family line. Has everybody got it? Now we know that it's more than one-dimensional. It's two-dimensional. It's talking about past and present. Okay? Past and present. So we see the sword severs from past and present, even in the household. It's a family line of spiritual roots. One of the things that we must start praying, and I want you to write this down if you would please. I want you to start praying this right away. Just ask the Father to bring light and truth into every area of your life. Bring light and truth in every area of your life, including your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your members and your memories. Let me repeat this again. Including your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your members and your memories. Of your past and present. Has everybody got it? I want you to start praying that prayer every day, every morning. Father, bring light and truth into every area of my life, including my spirit, my soul, and my body, my members and my memories of my past and my present. In Jesus' name. I want you to start praying this every day as we get prepared for the next session also. If you don't pray it, you won't get free. It's real simple. If you think you're okay and you're all right now and you don't need to write it down, then there's a demon there deceiving you. And he doesn't want you to get free. Because truth is what frees you. Well, I can compromise it. No, this is what the Holy Spirit has given us to pray. If you're compromising it, if you're deceived that you're okay and you don't need to do it, then there's a demon there hindering you. A ruler of darkness is in your life somewhere. Has everybody got it? Because what? Truth will free you. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. Glory. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh is a represent. People think, well, man, my flesh. Well, we know about our flesh. That's carnal, you know. But in certain parts of the Bible, when he's talking about flesh, he's talking about your old nature, your old man. Okay? Because your old man wants to serve Satan. He wants to do the things that are against the will of God. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. I said, in walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, there's a war going on there. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law or under the curse. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, who desire to do these things, who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. You not only will not enter eternal life, but the kingdom of God will not be manifested in your life here. Has everybody got it? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, that's freedom. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another, because that will manifest the flesh again. Mm-hmm. So we see here these manifestations, the works of the flesh, is actually manifestations of the old man. That means your manifestation of your flesh is a representation of something that you're manifesting in the natural realm, which is connected to something in the spiritual realm. It's causing you to do these things. What is activating your old man? Something that's not been severed yet. By what? By the sword that Jesus gave me and you. Oh, hallelujah. So we all want not only to enter eternal life, but we want the kingdom of God to be manifested in us and through us, don't we? Go to Romans 14. Praise God. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Make sure everybody's alive. Romans 14. Did you read it with me? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Well, how many people are as good as spoken of as evil? Not too many. Unless they were good, you know, unless they were an individual that's claiming to be good but's doing evil, you know what I'm saying? For the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, which is natural, right?
Yeah.
But is what? Righteousness and peace and joy where? In the Holy Spirit, which means in the Spirit, doesn't it? So it's righteousness and what? Peace and joy. That's freedom, isn't it? Some people still haven't gotten freedom yet. They only have righteousness, peace, and joy when they come to a service, but then afterwards they're tormented. That's not free. That's managing. Hello? That's not freedom. That means there's something still attached to you that you need to get free from. If you go in cycles, if you're an up-and-down believer, and if you're tormented in the mind, there's still attachments there. Spiritual roots that need to be severed. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, the kingdom of God is peace and righteousness, peace and joy, right? You know what we need to be free? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen? Those are people that are free. Healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? Free spiritually and physically and financially. Free. Physically, spiritually, and financially. That's freedom. Amen? Now, there are people who have a lot of finances, but spiritually, they're bound. They're not free. They're miserable. They still try to do things in a natural realm to fulfill, and they can't because they're still attached to spiritual roots, which has demonic activity in their life. Amen? But let me tell you something. Once you're spiritually free, everything else will fall into place. If you're not spiritually free, not everything's going to fall into place yet, physical or financial. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5. Okay. Praise God. Verse 8. Read it with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness, but rather what? So, Jesus gave us the sword so that we could what? Expose the darkness. Amen? expose the darkness. Praise God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. Somebody there? First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 15. Read it with me, please. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. That's vengeance, retaliation. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. Abstain from it. You know, people don't realize that not doing God's will is a form of evil. You may not be sinning in your eyes, but being led by your flesh instead of the Spirit is doing a form of evil. Does everybody understand that? Now may the God of peace himself what? Sanctify you or what? Separate you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want our whole spirit, soul, and body to be clean, don't we? So that we're blameless before the Lord. Amen? Clean and free. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Hallelujah. Chapter 7. You know, I've seen powerful men and women of God die. And I knew in my spirit that they died before their time. And I hear other people say, well, it must have been, it's God's timing. I thought, you know what? I don't have a witness of that. Because the Word tells us what you sow is what you reap, right? So what you sow in your body, whether you're taking care of it or not, is what you're going to reap, isn't it? Yeah. Amen? If you're a pork eater, you're going to get porky, right? You're a flesh eater, you're going to get fleshy, right? No. So depending what you eat is depending on what you become. Has everybody got it? So same thing, what you sow in the spirit, you'll reap life. What you sow in the flesh, you reap corruption. So if you're in deception and manipulation, you're sowing these things. And you're going to reap what you sow. And because of these things, people die before their time. They die before their time. Did God send the child in to die right away? No. He sent a child into the world to die right away? No way. He wanted us to live a full life. He said he came to give us life abundantly, didn't he? Amen. He came to give us life abundantly. In fact, it says he does far above we could ever ask or think, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's desired for me and you to live a healthy, wealthy, and wise life for His glory. Now look at verse 17. Go to verse 16. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. That means self-confident, self-righteous. Why should you destroy yourself?
Amen.
That means you're trusting in yourself more because of the wisdom God is giving you. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you what? Die before your time. It is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. He who reverence the Lord. Now you can't say that you reverence God if you're not willing to do what He asks you to do. You can't say you reverence God if you're not willing to accept His truths. Do you understand? See, these are ways of deception that the devil tries to say, well, if you're doing all right here, don't worry about that. You can justify for not doing that. He is the number one manipulator of justification. His power is fear, and His weapon is deception. He does not want you to know about your spiritual roots that hinder you in causing what you're doing today. Because you're not fighting flesh and blood. But He wants you to try and figure it all out. How many people are going on medication, Prozac, and everything else? It's nothing but deception. Because that's all it does is deceive your transmitters. That's all it does. People aren't getting healed. You know what they're not willing to do? Expose darkness. They're not willing to deal with their issues. And the psychiatrists are making big bucks. You know what? Because they're too lazy to go to the root of an individual. They'd rather just medicate them. You know why? Because they don't know truly what the problem is. Believe me, I've studied some of this stuff. It's disgusting. It's theory upon theory upon theory because nobody knows the truth.
Amen.
And they'll tell you in the psychology books that if you're going to college or whatever, well, it's a theory. But what people have done is taken these theories and called them truths. Now, darkness is reigning in there. Nobody's getting free. It's only temporary. I know people who have gone to Christian counselors. That was just a temporary fix because they never went to the root of it. Has everybody got it? That's deception, isn't it? Ruler of darkness. Woohoo! What's He want you to do? Die before your time. Die before your time. Go to Genesis 1. Almost all of us in this room almost died before our time, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on. We were ready to die. So I know for myself, I was ready to die. I mean, that was my only relief from torment. Tried to kill myself. I was ready to die. Thank God somebody rescued me. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And every creep. So Adam and Eve was created in the likeness and image of God, in other words, in His character. And in His character they had authority and dominion over everything. They were pure and clean. There was no corruption in them. There was no deception in them. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. And they were created in God's image and likeness. And then they bit the bait. In verse 6, so the woman saw that the tree was good for food in Genesis 3:6. and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, and she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, she only saw the fruit, didn't she? She didn't see the root. She only saw the fruit. And it was deception. Has everybody got it? It was deception. Because after they ate it, then the fear came. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They tried to cover up themselves. They tried to cover up their own stuff. You know what? They weren't willing to go to the root. Oh, hallelujah. So they made fig leaves. Go to verse 14. And if you, well, you can go back a little bit. Look at the, go to verse 13. And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Hello. See, she didn't know what lying was. Does everybody understand that? She didn't even know what deception was until she was deceived. Oh, I hope you can get that. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are what? Cursed." Sin brings a curse. This is where the curses come from. "And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." What are you made of? What's everybody made of? Dust. Hello, who wants to eat you? Amen. Here's dessert. Yeah. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." This is a curse come down from God. "And in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." This was a curse that God brought down. "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, curse is the ground for your sake." You know why he cursed the ground? Because he knew he didn't want him to live forever. It'd be torment to him. Everything was cursed. Everything. A curse came down from God. And all animals, all creation, everything was cursed. And he put the serpent, who was the cursed above all, ruler over the earth. Everything was cursed. And everything that came into the world was cursed. You and I were born with curse. And where there's a curse, demonic powers have access to us. They have a right to be there. "Then Adam," he said, "because you have heeded the voice of your and have eaten of the tree which I commanded, saying, curse is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles which shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, in sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Something happened, and we've talked about this before. Because when Adam and Eve were created, the life of their flesh, which they didn't have blood, was in the spirit. They were made eternal, weren't they? So, if they were made eternal, it means they couldn't bleed to death. Does everybody understand that? Because the life of their flesh, which was their outward appearance, which was a glorified body, was in the spirit. Amen. But they lost that glorified body. Their flesh became the seed of the serpent. They paired on a whole nother nature to live in the nature that was cursed by God. Amen. To live in an atmosphere that was cursed by God. And from that time on, everything that came down the line was cursed. Now what did he do? He said he's going to set up a new covenant by blood. Because now, if you go to Leviticus,
Go to Leviticus 17. See, God killed an animal in the garden and clothed Adam and Eve with their skin. And he took off the fig leaves, didn't he? Because that wasn't going to cover them. They were trying to do it by their own hands. And only God could remove that. Only he could restore covenant, not man. Leviticus 17. Some people will give me a hard time about this, but that's okay. Oh man, how can you prove that they didn't have blood? Well, Jesus was known as the second Adam, right? When he rose from the dead, did he have blood? No. What did Jesus do? He came to restore what was stolen. Eternal life with a glorified body. In fact, if you read in Genesis, Adam said, "She is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh." Never mentioned anything about blood. Oh, hallelujah. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Read it with me. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Say it again. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, isn't it? Hallelujah. So we see here that God killed the animal because from that point on, the life of their flesh was going to be in the blood that he gave them. The problem was that the blood was contaminated from sin. That's why things begin in the spirit realm that affect you naturally. Let me share something with you. You know, do you ever see kids with Down syndrome? And it hurts my heart. And it ain't that kid's fault. You know whose fault it is? Their forefathers from incest.
Yes.
That's a fruit of incest in the family line. Yes. Down syndrome.
Yes.
Because what happens in the spiritual arena affects the genetics of the physical. Has everybody got it? People born with cerebral palsy and one arm short and what we call midgets and because of stuff, incest and stuff in the family line contaminated in blood, which is manifested in the natural. Look at the people over in other countries, right, that are living in torment. Why? Because their forefathers have never done the right thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Hopefully we have enough tape space. Hallelujah. Where are we? Verse 12. "Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat what?
Blood.
That's why it's... You know how many people say, man, give me my meat raw? You know what they're doing? They're eating contaminated blood. And they don't even understand it. Why? Because it's contaminated. It's raw blood. So don't eat the blood. "Nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood." You like your meat raw? You're going to have problems physically. It's going to catch up. Because you're not to eat the blood. Now, you know, when they kill an animal, they let the blood drain, don't they?
Right.
Amen. But you know what the FDA does? They replace the blood with a red dye as a preservative. So the blood that you think you're eating is actually a dye that's killing you. Hello. Hallelujah. I studied to be an inspector. I know all about that stuff. So the life of the flesh is in the blood, isn't it? Sin caused a genetic change because of the curse coming down the family line. It is a spiritual root, isn't it? Go to Exodus 20. We'll talk more about spiritual roots in the next session, but I just want to bring a foundation that there are spiritual roots. Exodus chapter 20. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't know if we'll get to all this. Praise God. Exodus chapter 20. Is everybody there? This is where the Lord was giving commands, giving them the law to keep them in order. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 through 6, would you read it with me? And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, which means what? Bondage. Out of the house of bondage. See, it identifies that, doesn't it? The word Egypt means ruler of the world. Satan. Earthly. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, nor or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. That's powerful. Those are ancestral generational curses coming down to the third and fourth generation. Now, it can constantly come down, because if this generation right now is not doing the will of God, it's bringing curses down to the third and fourth generation. So there's family line, generational curses. And a curse allows demonic activity in your life. It allows demons in your life. Curse comes down to family line, which is a spiritual root, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. It should be next to Jeremiah. Unless it moved. Lamentations chapter 3. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 58 through 65. Lamentations chapter 3. O Lord, you have pleaded the cause of my soul for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my cause. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, and their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be what? Upon them. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. So what was he saying? He said, listen, curse them. Look at what they're doing to me. Curse them. Recompense is a representation of a curse. It means to repay of a wrongdoing. In other words, the devil likes to tempt us so that we sin. Sin brings a curse. And a curse brings judgment of God, which is a recompense. A payment. Amen. What's happening here? We talked about the curse coming down to generations. And that's what he's talking about here. So the curse coming down to other generations, allowing forces of darkness into the life of a family line of poverty, addiction, sickness, and many other things. Amen.
Amen.
Go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Praise God. Isaiah 5 and verse 13. Everybody there? Let's read it together, starting at verse 13. Therefore my people have gone into captivity. Captivity means bondage. Because they have no what? Which means what? Truth. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore Sheol, which means hell, has enlarged itself. Do you understand that? Those who practice such things of the flesh. Why? Because they're not practicing the truth. Where do they end up? And therefore Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, which means haughty. And he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down. Each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lambs shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places the fat ones, strangers, shall eat. Woe, where you see a word woe, it means cursed. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if with a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work. See, they were making dope then. Come on, somebody wake up in this place. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe, which means what? Curse. To those who call evil good and good evil. Is that happening now? Come on, man. They're letting gays get married to one another. And look what the Congress just did. They just, or the Supreme Court just approved all kinds of gay rights. They're calling it good. They're saying, well, we're just humans. No, they're demons. They're individuals that we're to love, but we're not to love what they do. We must learn to separate the individual from the sin. Amen. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. It's bartenders. Amen. Who justify the wicked for a bribe, money over righteousness, and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. And their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, is that powerful or what?
Yeah.
Think about that. That's a rotten spiritual root, isn't it? And it's come down the line. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 11. These things can be turned around by severing them and getting plugged into the right spiritual root. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
And a branch shall grow out of its roots. There's roots, a branch, and fruits. That's how it goes. Roots, branch, fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he's talking about, first of all, Jesse is the father of David. Okay? Out of that family line, there'll come a branch shall grow out of his roots, regardless. All right, now go to verse 10. And in that there should be a root of Jesse. Now, he went from a branch to a root. Who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again to the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I shared before, root, branch, and fruits. That's how it goes. Root, branch, and fruit, right? Now, we know you're talking about the root here is Christ. Now, everything changed when Christ came. First of all, the curse comes on the family line, right? The father who is the head is accountable and responsible. We as men are more accountable than the women. Not that everyone must work out their own salvation. That's why families are destroyed, because the man is the head of the house. Right? Remember, the devil didn't go after the man. He went after the woman that got to the man. All right? When Jesus came into the world, he wasn't born of a father of man. He was born of the Father of heaven. He came with no curse. He came to take on man's curse, to free them. The curse was death, hell, and the grave. The curse was to remove the ritual laws so that he can give you a sword so that you can sever the rest yourself. So that you can learn the ways. That's why he said, I am the way, truth, and life. That's why everybody, majority of people who come to Jesus Christ are not totally free, are they? That not everybody gets totally free. But it's available to them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. So remember, Jesus, his Father, is from heaven. He came with no curse. He wasn't down the family line. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was put in the family line to be a new root. That's why the root here in verse 10 is a capital letter, and it wasn't a capital letter in verse 1. He was a branch then. He spoke about a branch that will come forth because he is the root, the branch, and the fruit. That's why he is the way, the truth, and the life. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Praise God. Let's go to Ezekiel 31. Oh, hallelujah. We'll see what we can get in. Ezekiel 31. My brother Zeke, man. Powerful. Ezekiel 31. Verse 7 and through 9. 7 through 9. Thus it was beautiful in greatness and in the length of its branches, because its roots reach to abundant waters. Wow. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide it. The fir trees were not like its boughs. The chestnut trees were not like its branches. No tree in the garden of God was like it in beauty. I made it beautiful with a multitude of branches, so that all the trees of Eden envied it. That we're in the garden of God. Wow. Now that's powerful, isn't it? So we see here that the roots were drinking water. That's what I was sharing with you about. These roots that cause drink contaminated blood come down the line. That's why people are sick. That's why things happen, because their blood is contaminated. It's contaminated, first of all, from sin. Sin brings a curse. Right? Curse brings judgment. And where there's a curse, the devil has access to us. He's got a free reign. There's nothing God can do for me or you until we repent. Ephesians 3. Glory to God. Ephesians 3. We must expose it, right? Well, we need to find out what our spiritual roots are. Sometimes people need to go back in their family lines and sever some stuff. You know? Some of us don't realize, just because our parents were okay, we're not alcoholics, and we ended up alcoholics and drug addicts. But it goes down the family line. Just because it didn't hit them, but it hit you. Isn't it amazing that sometimes our brothers and sisters, some of them are straight and fine, man, no problem, we have the struggles. Because it didn't hit them, it hit us. Amen. But something else is hitting them, they just don't know it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be in what?
Rooted.
Rooted and grounded in love. Now that's a good root, isn't it? May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Yow. Jude 11. So they're a good root, isn't it? Jude 11. Praise God. And verse 11. Would you read it with me? What's the word woe mean?
Curse.
Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have gone greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming in their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Ouch. Ouch. Here we talk about roots of greed and so forth. People proclaiming to be someone, but yet they do the feast, but they're really not who they proclaim to be. Amen? Praise God. It says cursed is them, right? Because they've gone in that way. Cursed. I'm going to skip a few things and go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of what?
Bitterness.
Springing up cause trouble. And by this many become what? Defiled or contaminated. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his what?
Birthright.
Don't lose your birthright. Amen? Don't lose your birthright. Now look at verse 17. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he is rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He wasn't willing to repent. There was no place for repentance. So we see here that repentance is a part of severing some of these spiritual roots, isn't it? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 13. Praise God. Matthew 13. Come here, I want to sever these spiritual roots. We got to find out what they are now. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 3. Then he, Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth or root. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no, what? No good spiritual root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. That's the cares of the world. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, 60, and some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Go to Romans 11. And we'll close here for now. In verse 15. Romans 11, verse 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? That's us. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. You see the connection. So if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness of sovereignty of God on those who fell. Sovereignty, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be what? Cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them again. Hallelujah. So remember, if your roots are holy, your branch will be holy, and your fruits will be holy. God says, judge them by their fruit, right? He says, we look at pruning as a representation of cleansing. We'll be talking more about this later, and more of the spiritual roots. What are some of these spiritual roots? How are they activated and so forth? But we want to continue this. I wanted to start at least with a foundation to give you understanding the importance of these spiritual roots affecting your branches and your fruit. Amen? You know, God has already been showing us some of our roots, but we're not willing to look sometimes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you'll bring us to those places. Again, we ask that you'll bring light and truth into every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body, members and memories, past, present, and future, that we may be freed and severed, established and brand new, with holy roots, holy branches, and holy fruits for a holy God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.